Chapter 5. Brainworms, sticky music, and catchy tunes. Music is playing inside my head, over and over and over again. There's no end. Carole King. Sometimes normal musical imagery crosses a line and becomes, so to speak, pathological, as when a certain fragment of music repeats itself incessantly, sometimes maddeningly, for days on end. These repetitions, often a short, well-defined phrase or theme of three or four bars, are apt to go on for hours or days, circling in the mind before fading away. This endless repetition and the fact that the music in question may be irrelevant or trivial, not to one's taste, or even hateful, suggest a coercive process, that the music has entered and subverted a part of the brain, forcing it to fire repetitively and autonomously, as may happen with a tic or a seizure. Many people are set off by the theme music of a film or television show or an advertisement. This is not coincidental, for such music is designed, in the terms of the music industry, to hook the listener, to be catchy or sticky, to bore its way like an earwig into the ear or mind. Hence the term earworms, though one might be inclined to call them brainworms instead. One news magazine in 1987 defined them, half facetiously, as cognitively infectious musical agents. A friend of mine, Nick Eunice, described to me how he had been fixated on the song Love and Marriage, a tune written by James Van Heusen. A single hearing of this song, a Frank Sinatra rendition, used as the theme song of the television show Married with Children, was enough to hook Nick. He got trapped inside the tempo of the song, and it ran in his mind almost constantly for 10 days. With incessant repetition, it soon lost its charm, its lilt, its musicality, and its meaning. It interfered with his schoolwork, his thinking, his peace of mind, his sleep. He tried to stop it in a number of ways, all to no avail. I jumped up and down, I counted to 100, I splashed water on my face. I tried talking loudly to myself, plugging my ears. Finally, it faded away. But as he told me this story, it returned and went on to haunt him again for several hours. Though the term earworm was first used in the 1980s as a literal translation of the German Ohrwurm, the concept is far from new. Nicholas Slonimsky, a composer and musicologist, was deliberately inventing musical forms or phrases that could hook the mind and force it to mimicry and repetition as early as the 1920s. And in 1876, Mark Twain wrote a short story, A Literary Nightmare, subsequently retitled Punch, Brothers, Punch, in which the narrator is rendered helpless after encountering some jingling rhymes. They took instant and entire possession of me. All through breakfast, they went waltzing through my brain. I fought hard for an hour, but it was useless. My head kept humming. I drifted downtown and presently discovered that my feet were keeping time to that relentless jingle. I jingled all through the evening, went to bed, rolled, tossed, and jingled all night long. 2 days later, the narrator meets an old friend, a pastor, and inadvertently infects him with the jingle. The pastor in turn inadvertently infects his entire congregation. What is happening, psychologically and neurologically, when a tune or a jingle takes possession of one like this? What are the characteristics that make a tune or a song dangerous or infectious in this way? Is it some oddity of sound, of timbre or rhythm or melody? Is it repetition? Or is it arousal of special emotional resonances or associations? My own earliest brainworms can be reactivated by the act of thinking about them, even though they go back more than 60 years. Many of them seemed to have a very distinctive musical shape, a tonal or melodic oddness that may have played a part in imprinting them on my mind. And they had meaning and emotion, too, for they were usually Jewish songs and litanies associated with a sense of heritage and history, a feeling of family warmth and togetherness. One favorite song, sung after the meal on Seder nights, was Chad Gadya, Aramaic for one little goat. This was an accumulating and repetitive song, and one that must have been sung, in its Hebrew version, many times in our Orthodox household. The additions, which became longer and longer with each verse, were sung with a mournful emphasis ending with a plaintive fourth. This little phrase of six notes in a minor key would be sung, I counted, 46 times in the course of the song, and this repetition hammered it into my head.